Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so you and your SO have just committed the perfect crime in killing his wife. Now the two of you can be together forever. But there's one problem, is that this schlubby but charming detective is getting all up in your business, and he convinces you that maybe your SO doesn't really love you, and so you should turn on him and like give up the whole game. And he's like, all you got to do is pretend to die. What do you do?
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Patrick.
I guess, how charming is this police officer?
He's very charming, but this is someone that, like, your SO is someone that you're in love with. You murdered someone together.
Well, you murdered his wife together.
Yeah.
It's not like he murdered your wife for you.
You both murdered his
yeah,
wife.
Yeah, you took care of his mm-hmm. problem. So
I think you should want to test this man's...
That's a big test. So if he fails the test...
Then he fails and you learn a lesson.
Yes, but if he passes the test, then you have to admit that you didn't trust
him. Okay, that's not good.
That's not good.
Like, you know what you can do? Throw the detective under the bus. You guys can both get rid of the detective together.
Whoa. You mean
murder
the detective?
Murder?
Murder?
Yeah, as if that's not something you guys like doing together. You already do it together.
That's true.
You've done one. You may as well do a second one.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I think that your partner may respect you for having the willingness to test him.
Okay.
Oh, like when you say something mean to a mean person and then they go, I like her.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I feel like this might be, but okay, wait. I guess I'm not really, because here's the thing. I think I know what this is from.
Yeah, you probably
and
do.
I don't know what this is from.
Plays out.
What is it from?
It's from Columbo.
And it's from the first Columbo.
Yes. And it's a pretty good reveal because the audience doesn't know she's faking.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like the first time the audience doesn't have a piece of information before everyone else.
Yeah. But I don't know. Okay, so if he doesn't confess, what happens next?
Yeah, I don't know. What do you mean?
You're the one with the hot take. You
need to start a new life.
It's not even that he doesn't confess. It's he says that he doesn't love you. That's what he says to the detective. And at that point, you're like, well, fuck it. I'm just turning him in.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not do you go through with the... I guess I'm hearing you.
Well,
so
yeah.
If you go through with the... But I guess you've already committed to breaking up with him by doing the ruse at all. You can't salvage the relationship. Because even if he doesn't ultimately confess, then you're like, wait a minute. I'm not dead. And you didn't confess.
Well, so that was the like the first part of the hot take is, do you even go along with this in the first place? And like the only reason that she does in this episode of Columbo is that Columbo's like, I'm going to hound you with all of the like muscle of the LAPD forever until you work with us.
Man, I mean, yeah. But at that point, you're like, well, I gotta.
And this is a recurring Columbo problem. Or not problem, dynamic, is that the person who Columbo, the killer, mm-hmm. has convinced everyone in his orbit that he is the smartest man in the world.
Yes.
And so, but he's not, because there's this guy named Columbo.
What is he, Keith Raniere?
There are a lot of Keith Raniere, but sexier adjacent people on who kill people on Columbo.
Keith Raniere, but sexier. Literally anybody else in the fucking world. That man is so disgusting to look at. I've never wanted to cut someone's throat more. I hate Keith Raniere so fucking much with every fiber of my being. I'm sorry. I had to say that.
No, I hate him too, though I am really glad that we have the footage of him seducing Allison Mack at that volleyball game.
Oh my
God. Because it made me like not understand, because I don't think I'll ever really understand, but I've now witnessed it. So now it's not like, okay, it's not like secretly he's sexy behind closed doors or he has like moves. No, we saw his moves.
Mm-hmm.
So now we know exactly how it's like negging combined with zen like distance.
Yeah, it's like I have the answers. You are just like a floating little petal and I'm going to help you figure out how to be stronger.
Yeah.
Which isn't not the dynamic between like the woman and the like the main guy in this Columbo, like because he is the like the killer, the guy who had the wife that they killed, is a psychiatrist and he like knows everything and even kind of like drills in on like Columbo a little bit, but only in a way that like, you know, Columbo's letting him do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like an actress. She's like, you know, cool young floozy. Who's like awesome, but not on like super genius level.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that if you find out that the guy you thought was smart enough to help you get away with murder isn't as smart as we thought. I mean, you know me, I'm not a huge crime person, but
I think
if you can get out of it.
Just throw him under the bus.
I don't know. I'm not really down with this Bonnie and Clyde shit.
I don't like Bonnie and Clyde shit either, really. Like, because to me, I'm like, that fire is going to go out at some point.
Mm-hmm. And you got to be a team.
Yeah, you have to be a team.
And I don't know that, like, I feel like he uses the actress, just kind of uses her, and then he doesn't need her at the end. She's not the main course.
Right. She gets discarded at the end because she's the leftover. We're talking leftovers ships today.
Wow. Really good, guys. Really good.
Yeah.
Really good. That was an alley-oop.
Ryan, I saw you like starting to steer into that, and I was like, I don't know how this connects, but like, I feel like I can hear something in your voice.
Yeah, no, there is always something. There's like a little hope. There's hope.
Yeah.
And sometimes that hope gets dashed.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
But sometimes you guys come through and you hear me and you reach out across the darkness.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Guys, it's 2020. It's a tough year. Part of what I've done in 2020. And I shouldn't even say 20. It's really been in the past week for comfort because I've had different things. My new strategy for self-soothing is to watch classic rom-coms.
Okay. That's
and
fun.
The one.
I mean, my recent coping strategy is starting Columbo from the beginning.
And I support this. I'm very excited about it. I hope many hot takes arise. And there's some good shit. There's some good shit ahead of you.
I'm excited.
Okay.
But mine has been to watch rom-coms. And so I've watched You've Got Mail. Mm. I've watched Notting Hill. But Notting Hill, I don't know that I'll have another opportunity to talk about Notting Hill. So let me say this really quick, but this isn't even my point. I think Julia Roberts is too good at playing an aloof movie star in the first act of that movie.
So are you like, maybe this is how you really are?
Yes, but it's like eventually they have charm and it's very cute and they're in love. But the really, like, the first 20 minutes of that movie, you're like, this girl thinks nothing of you. You're a gnat in her face.
Yeah.
She wishes you would disappear. And because there's no, like, peek behind her curtain of, like, we don't ever get to see her, like, be human in the first half of that movie, you really are just like, Hugh Grant, stop trying. This is bad.
Yeah.
Like, Julia Roberts.
What do you see in her?
Yeah. She's mm-hmm. she's giving you nothing. But anyway, it turns out they love each other. But that's not the one that I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about one of the, I think we talked about it in our rom-com list. It's not When Harry Met Sally, though I could do a lot. This is a movie with Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. And it's called Sleepless in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
in this movie, are you guys familiar with this film?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
In this movie, Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, they don't have a lot of scenes together.
No, right. I remember being really disappointed about that when I first saw that movie. I was like, wow.
Well, it gets built up as it's like a prototypical rom-com, and it's not. It's like a very singular mm-hmm. rom-com. It's a very unique kind of story, or, you know, very unique to redundant, but like, it's a unique kind of story in that he is a voice on the radio. She hears his son calls into a call-in show. He's sad because his wife's dead. She falls in love with him before meeting him, or at least falls in interest with him.
Allure.
She grows an obsession.
This movie could be a horror movie.
It totally mm-hmm. could. And I think the way they soften it, and again, this is still haven't gotten to my ship, but but I swear I'm building toward it. But the way they soften, I think, is by having him, like, he gets love at first sight with her, independently of her obsession with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it all works out. But yes, I don't think any of the choices that Annie, as played by Meg Ryan, makes in this movie are great choices.
Right.
Except for maybe dumping Walter, her fiance. Oh, Walter. He's played by Bill Pullman. He is a drip. He is allergic to everything. He snores really loud. He doesn't really, like, he doesn't challenge her or excite her in any way. He tries, but he's a dud, right?
Yeah.
And in the end of the movie, when they break up, he's the one who encourages her to go to the Empire State Building. He's got nothing. He's a dud. Now, I'm saying all this about him because that's how her best friend, Rosie O'Donnell, Becky, thinks of him. But she's wrong because...
What?
My leftover ship is Becky and Walter, and I know how it works.
Whoa.
Okay, how are you going to make this work?
Okay, so all movie, Becky, she's like, your boyfriend's a drip. He's boring. He's got nothing. You feel passionate about someone else? Be with them. I have passion with my ex-husband. It didn't work out, but Okay, passion is not what Becky needs. She needs a steady, boring man who's going to make her feel exciting by being the exciting one in the relationship, and he will give her safety and comfort. Here's how it starts. And he's never really gotten time to hang out with her, but he's always thought she was cool. That I'm adding because it's not in the movie. Because
it helps, right?
Headcanon. You need something. Because she's going to come in a little bit resistant. But you know what? Annie, Meg Ryan, moves across country like so quick to be with Seattle guy.
Right.
So Becky.
So there's like a void in her life.
Yes. And Becky needs to get some of her stuff and mail it to Annie. So Becky shows up at Walter's house to help Annie finish her move, but Annie's gone. So it's just Walter and Becky hanging out. And Walter helps her carry all the boxes, get them to UPS. They go back to the house and Walter's like, hey, I've got some cognac. They get drunk, they sleep together. Becky thinks this is a horrible mistake. She can't believe she slept with such a drip.
Yeah.
She's like, this is all. And meanwhile, Walter's like, yeah, no, Becky, like, I'm into it.
Yeah, maybe this is the beginning of something.
Exactly. Becky's like, what a mistake I made. I can't believe you. Oh, I'm too wild for you. You're too tame for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe they adopt a dog. I'm not sure exactly how to
Wait a minute. Hold on. You skated over the part where they, like, stay in a relationship together.
Here's the thing. He thinks they're starting to date. So he keeps mm-hmm. calling her. And she's like, oh, Walter must be lonely. But no, he's not lonely. He just wants to talk to you, Becky. He just wants to be with you. And she's like, I feel bad. He must be so sad without Annie around.
And then there's like some weekend where she's hanging out by herself and she's like, I'm lonely. And she calls him.
Yes, she does.
Yeah.
And then the two of them, they don't get engaged right away, but she does bring him to Sam and Annie's wedding.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And Annie sees it immediately. Annie's like, no, you guys aren't just like buds. Like, you guys are in love with each other. And Becky's like, no, I like guys who treat me bad. I wouldn't want to know what to do with a guy who treats me good.
And maybe she says something like, he's only with me because he's so lonely, blah, 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 and so unhappy. And he's like, I've never been happier in my life.
Whoa.
And she's like, yes. What?
Yes.
And this is like a big blowout. Maybe not day of the wedding because that's tacky.
Oh, yeah.
But like, like maybe.
At like the brunch afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, yes.
Like the next day breakfast thing.
Because she was ready to like say, okay, we've gotten to the finish line of the wedding. You don't have to hang out with me anymore. Like, you're starting to be happy. Like, it's, we can move on.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they'll never move on. They're the leftovers. They're together now. I needed to talk to someone about this. Because
no, that was really good.
I think when I was younger, yeah. I always thought like, because there is a mirror person in Tom Hanks's life, the Rob Reiner character. They talk about hot butts or cute butts. Mm-hmm, they talk about, there's a cute moment where he tells Tom Hanks is like, what is tiramisu? I don't know about it in this new dating world. And Rob Reiner's like, you'll love it. You'll love it. And he's like, well, if I don't know what it is, how can I do that to a woman? And Rob Reiner's like, you'll love tiramisu. So there's, and that's definitely the mirror person in Meg Ryan's life to Rosie O'Donnell, but that's not the fit. The fit is Walter. Plus, I feel bad for Bill Pullman because he's so sad. He's sad at the end.
Yeah.
And he deserves good things.
Even though he has allergies?
That's the thing. He's not evil. He's just a drip.
He's a drip. And I think the right person will be excited about his about him. Ultimately.
Yeah, someone with Munchausen's by proxy is going to love it.
But that's, yeah. And I think that Sleepless in Seattle posits a world where the right person for you is like, just a twist of fate away. So I feel like that's kind of, once Annie leaves for Seattle, that is Becky and Walter.
I like that. That's nice.
Yeah, so that's good.
I strong-armed you guys into doing Leftovers as a ship because I sure really wanted to talk about Sleepless in Seattle. So thanks,
no,
guys.
I respect it. Mm-hmm. Had I had that ship, I would have strong-armed as well.
Aw, thanks, Kelly. Do you have a leftover ship? Oh, no.
Okay, here's the thing. I had something that I really wanted to talk about for Halloween Unshippables, but we're not doing that. And I was like, I will find a way to make it work. And I think it does.
Great.
But I need your guys' help in finding somebody to ship this person with.
I love
because
this.
To me, they're unshippable.
This is like a leftover topic.
Oh, that's nice.
I love it.
No, this is perfect. Good. I think, honestly, this is the kind of day where we should all get to say what we want to say.
Say what you want to say. Okay, so.
Honestly.
Imagine, well, okay, and this also, this character comes out during a very famous dinner scene.
Mm.
So, like, what happens at dinners? And obviously, there are a lot of leftovers at this dinner because the food on the table is not eaten.
Oh,
I'm
no.
talking about the dinner scene from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Are you trying to find a love for Leatherface?
No, for the grandpa. The one who sucks on her finger.
Okay.
Oh, Kelly.
Yeah. Well, I was like, how could we find someone for him?
Yeah.
We could find someone.
I thought you were steering us towards Beetlejuice at first.
No. Much worse.
This is much worse
and
than that.
Much easier to ship. I mean, come on.
I mean, who wouldn't want to be with the grandpa? So for those of you that are not familiar, the full movie occurs without the grandpa being involved.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forget the main character girl's name, but she ends up in this house. She's taken to this house by, I guess he's like the uncle.
Okay.
She thinks she's getting away. She gets to this gas station and she sees the barbecue stand at the gas station, and she realizes that the barbecue is people.
Mm-hmm.
And that moment's really great because, like, her looking at the barbecue, and it's all in, like, real time, so it's very slow. and very voyeuristic because you're watching her see the barbecue and she's just like, oh no. And then the guy who was supposed to be helping her, who worked at the gas station, like just slowly walks over, captures her, puts her in a, like, well, actually he hits her with a broom a bunch. Ooh. And then it's actually pretty, like, pretty funny. He like hits her with the, like, the bristles of a broom and then puts her in a bag and then takes her in the car and takes her to the house for dinner.
Yeah, hilarious.
And then she gets to the dinner. Nightmare of a dinner. Terrible dinner.
Well, are they serving people?
They are.
Okay.
Yes. They are serving sausages of people and like meat chops.
Sausages for dinner? Oh. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
In like a bun or just like loose on a plate?
No, loose sausages and loose meat. And that's it. They don't, not a vegetable in sight.
Guys, so, you're going to get sick.
We're in the pyramid.
Yeah. So they're all, that's at the table. Leatherface is like doing different activities. He's like not really at the table the whole time. And then the brother, Leatherface's brother, is who is also the hitchhiker, is sitting at the table.
Okay.
The uncle, who's the gas station guy, is sitting at the table. Mm-hmm. And then they bring out Grandpa, who I guess is the patriarch of this family. Mm-hmm. They bring him out. They cut her finger. And then the grandpa just sucks on her finger while she screams for like a good 35 seconds. And then they try to hit her in the head with a meat mallet like they do for cows.
Yeah.
But they want the grandpa to do it. And he can't do it because he's too old and weak. So that's how she ends up getting away.
So do we think he could be a vampire?
Maybe.
That he like comes alive when he sucks blood?
I mean, he looks kind of like shit. But in the way that like, you know how, remember the vampire show, Dracula, was it?
Mm-hmm. How he looked
the recent one.
Yeah.
Where he like looks like shit at the beginning and then he drinks
Which
blood
that
and then he
movie
looks
really
handsome.
Jumps a shark. Or that show jumps a shark.
Girl, I'm going to tell you something.
It's only three episodes long and it somehow finds yeah, no. a way.
No, I agree completely because at the end of it, I was like, thank you for creating a world in which there are no rules for vampires because we don't know what makes someone a vampire.
No. And taking like seven different ideas, just like kind of smushing them together. Whereas like if it was if you just told the story of Dracula
mm-hmm.
in the way that they started telling it at the beginning of that series, that's a whole show. That's a great show.
I would have loved if we just stayed in the time of the great great grandmother or whatever.
Yeah.
Like the olden times. The second we got to modern times, I was like, pass.
Wait,
like
so what do the vampires do that makes them like ruleless?
Oh, so it's not clear. If you bite, if you get bitten, do you become a vampire? It doesn't tell you. And like he has like these thralls mm-hmm. that sometimes become vampires and sometimes don't. Again, no rules as to when that happens. He then bites and turns our female main character and like throws her in the osh or something, right? And then it's not clear if she survived or not. But I guess she doesn't. But it's like, why wouldn't she survive? She's a vampire. The only thing that can kill a vampire is the sun or being stabbed with a...
Especially because we in a previous episode, isn't he thrown into the ocean? And then when he emerges from the ocean thousands of years later,
he's alive? He's fine.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty sloppy. Like, it sets up something that seems very cool and atmospheric and, like, the dynamic between between Van Helsing, who is this nun who's obsessed with him, and him and Dracula is like very cool, and they ditch it.
Yeah.
Because then they're like modern times. Now it's him and her great, great, great grandniece or something like that, who looks exactly like her.
Which I think that moment could have worked at the end of a series. If you want to be
end.
Like.
Yeah, that's some epilogue shit right there.
Yeah. But it was like the end of the second episode, beginning of first or third.
Yeah. And I'm reading back. Because the first episode kind of works like a movie.
I loved the first episode.
And then the second episode is like, you know, Dracula on a boat. That's interesting.
And her in like dreamland, which is cool.
But yeah, the third episode just is like, it's like if you had a trilogy of books and you tried to do them in three episodes of television.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Though now I kind of want someone to do that with like Twilight.
Just have them be three episodes of TV.
A 40 minute New Moon.
With Twilight though, you can skip a lot.
Oh my God, there's so much you can skip.
Yeah. I guess we make him a vampire.
I'm kind of flailing because he's very gross.
He's extremely gross.
Just needs someone else who is a gross killer person. We know gross killers. Like
what?
But we don't do real people.
Keith Raniere?
Okay, Keith Raniere is interesting. I was going that horrible man in Colorado who killed his wife and kids, and it was just in that documentary, American Murder.
I don't know what this is.
I'm sorry. I'm writing it down.
Okay, it's a worthwhile, it's a weird documentary, worth seeing, I think. I mean, it's very disturbing and upsetting, but it's this guy who, one day his wife and two children go missing. We don't usually talk about real people, so this feels gross. But this guy is almost as disgusting a real person as this fictional character is a fictional person.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in prison, so maybe in prison he and Grandpa get a cell together.
Yeah.
And I kind of just want Grandpa to humiliate this real person, which that's horrible. But anyway,
yeah.
So it's fucked up. Watch the documentary. I'm sorry I brought it up. I wish I could go back in time.
We could say maybe, maybe someone that could give him a glow up or something.
What do you mean?
Like do magic on him but I think it would have to, you also have to change his mind and personality, because he basically made Leatherface, right? Like, cause he abused Leatherface and Leatherface's siblings. That's the thing. I don't know if we can find somebody for Leatherface's grandpa.
So this is I don't know why I keep going back in my head to Ursula from The Little Mermaid, and I don't know why.
You know why? Because she would be like, let's do evil but make it fierce. Like, let's make it fun and fierce. Because like what you're doing is a major bummer.
Right. You're doing some really good evil, but with no fucking style to it at all.
No style. Like. Your evil should be about like revenge and like morality tales. Like what you're doing is just like being mean and creating a murderer.
Right. And like we can eat people. We can still eat people, but first I have to turn them into like little algae monsters and then we can eat them.
Okay.
I have to like monkey's paw wish them.
This might be more of like a fuck fest.
With the grandpa.
Yes. Okay. What about Freddy Krueger?
Interesting. Freddy is extremely sexual.
Yes, and Freddy keeps trying to gross him out. But Grandpa cannot be grossed out.
Whoa. Because
he is so gross naturally. He's just like, cool. And so like then Freddy will do something else disgusting. And then Grandpa's just like, yeah.
Yeah, Grandpa likes it. He like opens his mouth for more blood.
Exactly. But
obviously this only happens in Grandpa's dreams, right?
Yes.
But if you come in a dream, you come in real life. Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. That's the rule.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
What?
Is that a rule of Nightmare on Elm Street? Is that a rule you're making up in real life? Is that...
Well, no, that's in the lore. That's in the lore of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They just never say it.
No, I'm just going off of in Nightmare on Elm Street, if you die in the dream, you die in real life.
I see. Yeah, probably. But that's the thing. Freddy's come before, but he's never made anyone come because his whole thing is about being gross and scared.
Right.
But this is the first time he actually gave someone pleasure.
And this is hard because Freddy is a pedophile, right?
Is he?
Yeah, he is. Well, here's the thing. In the original script, he was 100% a pedophile.
Right.
Then they made him a child murderer.
Okay.
In the script, like they cut mentions of pedophilia, but like, everything makes more sense. Like because the story of Freddy is that he was a janitor who was a child, hurt children, and then all the parents got together and murdered him.
Right.
Which I think you would do that to a child murderer, maybe, but you would definitely do that to someone who we thought was going to hurt your children. Then it also makes sense that the kids grow up and have nightmares about him.
Yes.
That makes way more sense if he was molesting them
than a murderer, because if you're dead, you can't dream.
Well, and like, imagine, well, not, don't imagine this. This is like me bringing up real true crime stuff. But like a person, if a person was killing children where I grew up, my parents would never tell, I wouldn't know anything about the child because they hadn't, or the killer, because they wouldn't have killed me yet.
Right.
Only if you're a victim would you have these weird deep-seated memories of Freddy.
Right.
Like,
interesting.
So like, I think for that reason alone, like Freddy kind of falls into the unshippable bucket as well.
But I think like, this is it. This is their one moment of something resembling a ship.
Okay, so maybe Freddy tries to be gross at Grandpa.
Yes.
Grandpa comes, Freddy cries.
I love this.
This is cursed.
Should we? I think this whole episode.
This is a good episode.
This episode probably needs to be taken away.
No, the title of this episode is now Grandpa Comes, Freddy Cries.
And all I wanted to do was talk about a Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan movie.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm in October mode right now.
I get it.
No, I get you.
Okay, do you have one, Patrick?
I do. So I was thinking about Leftovers, and I was like, who is the biggest fan of Leftovers, the food, in all of cinema? And it's got to be Emile the Rat from Ratatouille, Remy's brother.
Yeah, it's true. He makes magic. Like,
what's that?
He makes magic from Leftovers.
Yeah. That's right. And, you know, he's supportive of his brother, partially because, like, you know, he's into the food, but also just because, like, it's his brother and, you know, he's supportive. But I think there's got to be a part of Emile that at the end of the movie, when Remy gets to, like, open his own restaurant, right, where he gets to, like, be the main chef and, like, everyone knows that a rat is making the food, that Emile's like, we've gotten too fancy. This isn't the kind of, like, good garbage food that I want to eat. So he has to go strike out on his own. Emile the Rat is going to leave Paris behind forever and seek his fortune out in the world.
Oh my gosh.
I'm scared.
Like so many people who go to seek their fortune in the world, he travels to America and he goes to Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
Where he meets Max Bloom from Happy Endings.
Okay.
Max,
you're going to make this man fuck a mouse?
I'm going to make this a rat, but yes. If anyone on Happy Endings would fuck a rat,
it would be Max.
It would be Max.
Max, I feel like Penny would fuck a rat if it was in a nice enough outfit.
And then she'd be like, oh no!
How am I going to marry a rat? Okay.
Whereas Max would have no qualms about it.
Yeah,
Max would find...
So we're not even doing a magic spell where Emile becomes a person.
I mean, we can... If
no,
right.
There's a magic spell that makes him a human-sized rat.
Guys.
No, here we go. So Max, as we know, pissed off Mark Paul Gosselaar's character in like season 3 of Happy Endings, right? Because he like outed him to his wife as like using his apartment as like a bachelor pad in the city. And so Mark Paul Gosselaar's character, who's I can't remember the character's name, but he studies magic because he's like, I'm going to get back at Max in a way so big that, like, you know, he'll never see it coming. He turns Max into a rat. This
human-sized or little?
Little, I think. Little. The answer is little.
Okay, sorry. I'm just trying to get this human-sized rat thing to keep happening.
You really want that to happen. Okay, I like this. And so Emile and Max are partners in eating garbage together.
Yeah, and they hang out like in Dave's steak truck and like, you know, make it an unsanitary mess and eat all of his food. Yeah,
honestly,
he's thriving.
If I was like good at editing, I feel like I would make a supercut of Happy Endings, but what if Max was a rat and everyone would still treat him probably almost exactly the same?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably. Probably exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
You would use a lot of footage from that episode where he's a bear and he's
I was just thinking of that episode. Yeah. I was just thinking of that. Yeah.
Oh, that show, man. That was a good show.
It was a good show. Lots of jokes per minute. Really, really, really good.
Yeah, really, really dense.
I do feel like they dangle some Dave Penny and never...
Well, didn't they end up doing that towards the end? Like there was a...
I think they did more missed things.
Mm-hmm.
I think if there would have been a season 4, we would have gotten into that a little bit. Because also, like, you know, Penny was starting to feel like stuff about Dave, but Dave and Alex were back together at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Horrible choice.
horrible.
Yeah, but they're fucking idiots. So like,
they
that's
are
what,
idiots, but they also have negative chemistry.
Yeah, that's the problem with Dave and Alex, because that's what we really came here to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
She makes him worse.
Mm-hmm.
He is more pathetic. He is stupider. Mm-hmm. He is less able to be a person in the world when they're mm-hmm. together. And she, yeah, she, I mean, but, and she's so dumb that maybe she shouldn't be allowed to have a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what should happen is, as long as there is a magician character who is turning our characters into animals,
uh-huh.
Dave and Alex should just be turned into golden retrievers.
That's fine. Yeah.
And then they can hang out and be in love. That's fine.
Right. But then who's going to maintain Stake Me Home tonight?
That's true.
You need thumbs.
It's true. You do need thumbs. What about...
Okay, golden retrievers with thumbs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I hate this.
That's worse than full-size rat.
Man-sized golden retrievers with thumbs.
Hey, guys.
Two relationships.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.